FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You're listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's Carrie Lutz. The date is January 13th, 2016. Putting it mildly, the year has gotten off to a bit of a rocky start. How rocky? Well, you just can't even imagine. But the person you're about to hear from, Andrew Hoffman. Andy, you know how rocky the new year is, and you know what's coming next. And good to talk to you, as always.
Yes, the same here. Look, it was the worst end of a year ever, that's for sure. With the last couple of trading days, stocks getting smashed along with everything else. And then, of course, the beginning of the new year, which tends to portend the rest of the year, is this is the worst start in history. And it's not just the Dow falling 7% or whatever the number is, amidst some of the most incredible PPT support. In fact, I wrote a whole article about it yesterday. It's so crazy how they've tried to react in the last few days by trying to prop up stocks when everything's falling apart. But it's not just stocks, of course. It's commodities. It's currencies. I mean, God, the South African rand fell, I think, 6% in one day the other day.
Yes.
Like 2 days ago, in one day. This is, you know, we're talking about cataclysmic crashes of currencies around the world, which is, you know, what I predicted 2 years ago, and it's only accelerating. And now that energy is leading the commodity debacle, and energy is the largest revenue producer on the planet, it's also the source of more debt on the planet. And now that it is heading into what I believe is going to be a bear market of epic proportions. Remember, I was an energy analyst. I joined the energy industry on Wall Street in 1996 at the end of a 16-year bear market, which destroyed almost every oil company around except for the biggest ones. But that's nothing compared to now. In fact, today in my article, we can go into a second. It's called "So the POTUS," meaning President of the United States. Obviously, when he was talking about you shouldn't fear the future, he wasn't referring to the oil industry. In that article, I showed a chart, which I saw yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, no less, which said that in 2010, okay, that's just 5 years ago, the 134 publicly traded oil companies in the U.S. and Canada, okay, that's just publicly traded, and that's just U.S. and Canada, saw their debt levels rise from $190 billion to $360 billion. That's just in 5 years for 134 public companies in the U.S. and Canada. Okay, that shows you how much debt. That's just a microcosm of the world. I would bet, if I had to throw out numbers, how much, you know, you include the OPEC nations and Venezuela and Brazil and all that stuff, I would bet there's $10 to $20 trillion worth of debt linked to high oil prices out there. So if you think that the subprime mortgage crisis of 2007 was a big deal, which, by the way, is going to be probably equaled in size just by the subprime auto and student loans of today, you know, you got another thing coming. I think the commodity industry debacle, as emphasized in my article a year and a half ago that said crashing oil prices portend unspeakable horrors, will not only unleash the biggest economic calamity in the history of mankind, but probably it will start world wars.
Yeah, it's very possible, that's for sure. I mean, those debt figures are staggering, so easily they go into the trillions when you start taking into account the national debts involved. And there's a lot of debt of non-publicly traded companies that don't fall into that category, high yield debt. So you're talking trillions of dollars here, potentially over a trillion.
Over a trillion. Yeah. I'm saying 10, 20, 30 trillion just in the energy sector alone. We're talking about the national economy, the national oil companies of major nations around the world, not just little ones like tiny OPEC nations. We're talking about major, major nations that receive the bulk of their revenues from energy revenues. And of course, that's just oil. Commodities in general, oil is just a subset of the bigger picture of commodities, which is far larger when you combine all of them. And again, it's not even just the industrial commodities. Because of all of the oversupply, this is David Stockman's Great Deformation, all the oversupply of cheap money, particularly since the economy of the world peaked at the turn of the century and certainly accelerating after the 2008 crash, all that cheap money from the central banks with their ZERP and NERP and QE and all the Wall Street financial engineering that created derivatives and collateral loan obligations corporations and leverage loans, all these things that when I studied the CFA 15 years ago, they never didn't even exist, these things. Actually, it was 20 plus years ago I took the CFA. All that stuff, when you combine it, is it has created the most massive oversupply of commodities in the history of mankind by many, many multiples. And the other thing that people aren't noticing is, you know, again, I was an oil analyst for a long, long time. Oil demand never falls. Even in the worst of times, oil demand never falls. The only time in decades and decades where it even blipped down, and I mean blipped down, was during the 2008-2009 crisis. When you look at the graph, you barely even see it because it's such a minor blip. Now, of course, it would have gone down more if it weren't for all the central banks coming in late 2008 and early 2009 and pumping the system with tens of trillions of dollars, probably hundreds of trillions, when you account for all the derivatives. So otherwise it would have. But the fact is, it created an even worse situation. And you're already starting to see energy demand decline. I mean, you're seeing the numbers out of China showing declining demand right now. You look at the numbers coming. There's a reason why you're seeing record inventories. I mean, look at, my God, look at the energy inventories that were reported just this morning here, as well as last week. This is the biggest build of gasoline and distillate inventories in the history of the United States. And we're just getting started. This is just the beginning of the season when the builds start. So again, you know, we are going to be, you know, economic Mother Nature in all of her rage and glory is going to be swamping all of the massive efforts to manipulate with propaganda, with manipulation of the stock market and pressing gold prices down and messing around with interest rates. I think that this year is the year that everything is destroyed. Like, as I said the other day in my article, in a toll in a tsunami.
Yeah, well, it's certainly beginning to look that way. And the Chinese economy, I mean, have you been seeing, they literally build buildings there, Andy, and then they just demolish them like 6 months later because they weren't built to standard. There was a building I read about and I posted it on the private Facebook group FSN Connect. If you want to join it, just click there and I'll let you in. But basically, the building was finished in 2015. 6 months later, they're imploding it because the developer, in a bid to maximize the square footage that they could sell, didn't put in emergency stairwells or enough of them so they could build more condos and sell them. And now they're doing this, and evidently they destroy like $70 billion worth of buildings a year in China, most of which were just recently built.
Well, it's like the whole thing of, you know, prisoners digging ditches and filling them in, or prisoners, anyone. But I mean, they're no longer building them there anymore. Now they're just destroying them. Yeah. There's no more building. In fact, it's so bad right now, the global trade right now. You know, you probably saw also this picture. This was 2 days ago. There was not a single cargo ship operating in the entire Atlantic Ocean. Mm. You know, you see the pictures of all around the world, them all docked because they have these great vessel finder things, and they're all sitting there docked. And that's just like when we were talking about a few weeks ago, which is probably much worse now, right outside of Galveston. You look at the aerial photos where there's like dozens and dozens and dozens of tankers sitting there waiting full with no place to go. We saw the pictures of tankers going all the way across the Atlantic and then turning around and coming back because there was nowhere to sell them. I mean, these are the things that are going on in the world. There is no trade going on. I can't even underestimate it or overestimate it enough. There is no trade going on. Everyone is a deer in headlights right now. You know, the only thing that has prevented this from being 2008 is this incredible manipulation of markets, which is, as I wrote in yesterday's very, very last to go, again, it's now we're down to just a handful of markets that haven't crashed. All the commodities have crashed. All the currencies have crashed. Even fixed income is crashing. The high yield bonds are crashing. Most stocks, including in the United States, are in bear market territory, down at least 20%. And in real terms, most markets are getting absolutely destroyed. The GDP in dollar terms, as we talked about last week, is at a 1965 low right now, for that very reason. So all you got left is the Dow and the NASDAQ and the DAX, and the FTSE, and even they are all falling. The Dow was down last year a couple percent. The Dow was down 8% this year. And that's after the last, I mean, yesterday's article, I was showing you the last 2 or 3 days how maniacal the PPT was in the last 2 days, including this morning when they rocketed the futures up in the middle of the night, desperately trying to reverse what is the very beginnings of what is going to be the 2008 times 1,000.
Oh, yeah, it's... There's a lot of black swans on the horizon, that's for sure. And it's just what is going to fall next, I think, is really the question here, Andy. What comes next?
Yeah, it's a matter. Is it a black swan that causes them to lose control, or is it just the sheer weight of this tsunami bearing down on this atoll, which is the global economy? I mean, the Fed's already out of the picture. I mean, we're already done with interest rates. Now they're starting to bet on when they're going to cut again. Or QE. And, you know, and again, you know, I wrote about the Yellen reversal right after they supposedly ended QE back at the end of 2014. Again, they supposedly ended QE, except the Fed's balance sheet is still at an all-time high. It hasn't gone down at all. And for instance, they say they raised rates, but it still hasn't showed up in the money markets. Rates have not gone up yet.
Yeah.
And in fact, looking today at the 10-year Treasury yield, it's lower today than when the Fed raised rates. So again, I said back then, it's only a matter of time before Janet Yellen is forced. And it will be forced. It won't be because they decide it's the right thing to do. It's because markets are falling so badly that they have to come in. They'll say, yeah, they'll make an excuse. They'll say it's because of China. It's because of an international incident that we couldn't possibly have foreseen, et cetera. You know, it's because, you know, oil, don't worry, oil is still transitory. It's fall. But you know, we have to, you know, be realistic. Something is going to cause that. And whether it's a one-time event, like a terrorist event or something, or just simply the weight of economic Mother Nature, I don't know. But someone was asking me yesterday that question about when. And I said, all I could say this, I honestly cannot conceive. I can't even imagine a scenario where these powers that be, let's call them, get through 2016 without being destroyed. I just can't. I can't see them saying, well, if we just have more schemes to pretend that Greece is bailed out and just boost the stock market and push down paper, gold, silver, even though there's no physical left and people are buying it hand over fist. And if we can just manage interest rates and put out propaganda that the economy is recovering, maybe we can kick the can. I can't see that happening. There's just too much falling apart too fast and no cushion to support it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we've reached the end of the line, but... Then again, we thought we'd been here before, so I caution you, it ain't over till the fat lady has sung, because you just don't know what they're going to do next.
Well, really wiser words have not been said, but that said, for most of the world, it already is over. Again, people are so secular here in the United States. We get there 300 million people out of 7.3 billion, and we think, well, our stock market has fallen. It hasn't fallen that much, and gold price is down. And they still say GDP is positive. So I guess, you know, things are all right. They really hasn't fallen apart. If you look anywhere else in the world, what if you live in South Africa? You know, your currency is down. What is it, down 80% in the last year? Yeah. 80%. In India, all-time low. In China, now they're devaluing the currency. They're blowing up buildings. I mean, debts are crashing around the world. If you're in the energy industry anywhere in the world, if you're in Brazil, where, again, I maintain there will be no Olympics this year, I mean, these are,
I know.
How about Nigeria? Yeah. Just yesterday, 2 days ago, the black market, you know, remember what I said in my audio blog last week about how when the Chinese lost control of the offshore yuan, it caused this whole cataclysm of stock and equity and commodity and currency selling. Well, that's what happened in Nigeria just 2 days ago, where the black market offshore Naira was all of a sudden caught up to. And all of a sudden, everyone lost 20% of their purchasing power in a day. And Nigeria is the largest country in Africa with 170 million people living there. So again, around the world, it already has fallen apart. The fat lady has sung. If you live in Brazil, you are fearful for your life right now. If you live in Angola, you are fearful for your life right now. Argentina, Turkey is about to fall apart. And that's right in the middle of all this ISIS Middle East war zone. Most of the world has seen this already, and it's only a matter of time before, hey, look in Canada, look at the currency there, in Australia. I mean, these are first world countries, right? Mexico. So, yeah, it's coming to the top of the totem pole pretty soon, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, no doubt. It's just a question of when, and you know what you need to do. If you haven't done it already, you better think about doing it real soon. and go over to milesfranklin.com. Take a look at Andy's daily missive. Subscribe to it as audio blogs. Take a look at buying precious metals. Might be your lifeline. And while you're at it, go over to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Take a look at all the articles we've got every single day. Newsletter is going out today, Andy. So I have to get back to work. I'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.